Hello and welcome back to the Blasphemous Pope Cathedral. I am your Blasphemous Pope Harry and this is the Blasphemous Pope Podcast. Today we are going to be doing meditation number 33, Living Power Part 2. If you remember correctly, we left off in the middle of thermochemical conversion, and the one I left off on was gasification, because it's a little bit more difficult to talk about. These processes, I want to make sure everyone understands, are complex chemical processes that require a lot of energy and maybe not suitable for the homesteader. Now, there are people who claim that they want to do this, that they have the qualifications to create the apparatuses needed to do these things, and I wish them the best of luck. I do know that there are ways to redneck engineer these things so that you can make biochar, and use that as a fuel, use that for other purposes, and I did talk about that last week. But for the most part, the thermochemical conversions are things that are more on an industrial scale for us. So I just want to make sure I put that out there first and foremost, so that everybody understands where I'm coming from when I'm talking about this type of stuff. Now, today we are going to finish up thermochemical conversion with gasification, and I'm going to tell you this, of course, is a dangerous process that requires high pressure systems at high heat, and it is not something to be taken lightly. And then we are going to move on to transesterification and how that works. You may be unfamiliar with the term transesterification, but if you do recall, there was a guy who took his diesel car and added a biodiesel, which he created from spent cooking fat from fast food places, and his car ran and smelled like hamburgers and french fries and stuff like that. And that's the gimmick part of it, but the reality is this is a process that can be used, and we'll talk about that later. And of course, we are going to be talking about the biological conversion, which is anaerobic digestion or fermentation. Anaerobic digestion creating methane, and then fermentation creating ethanol as fuel. And then a little note at the end of this to talk again about carbon neutrality and how it's a paradox. If you wish to get a hold of me, the Blasphemous Pope, there are plenty of ways. First and foremost, here on Spotify and on Spotify for podcasters, there will be always a question on the podcast itself. You can type in a little answer, and that's one way that which we can interact. As well as there is a messaging feature where you can leave a voice message. Little warning, those messages become able to be used in a podcast. If you wish for it not to be used in a podcast, please tell me beforehand so that this way I am not doing something against your wishes. I'm going to try to abide by other people's wishes. The social media links on Spotify and the Spotify for Podcasters website are directly to me. You can contact me that way, add me as a friend, follow me, what have you. If you wish to have a little more interaction with the community in total, there is a Facebook group where we do have a growing community, as well as the Discord, which has got a link at the bottom of the description. A little note on the Discord. As far as the Discord is concerned, that is where I'm going to be doing the live streaming from. So if you wish to take part in the live streaming, either by voice or by text chat, or just to sit there and listen as I do it live, you can do that on the Discord. So I do encourage you to join the Discord, of course. If we are trying to make a decision on something, I generally try to throw the decision out to my acolytes to vote on. And if you want to get a part of that action, that's done through the Facebook group. Thank you for listening, and now back to the show. Welcome back. Thank you again, everyone who does interact with me, reaches out to me. If you are interested in getting more interaction with me, the Facebook page is a perfect way to do that, or following me on Twitter, or following me on Facebook, in the group. All of these methods are really good for getting a hold of me and interacting with me. You want to tell me I'm wrong and I'm an idiot, feel free. We can talk about it. And if I'm wrong, I am not beyond, you know, saying I'm wrong and correcting myself. This is one of the things about me that if you are new here, I may not have all the correct answers, and I understand that. And if you, as part of my audience, do have a better answer, we can talk about it. We can figure out where my logic went wrong, and maybe we can collaborate on getting that corrected. So, with that being said, let us begin the meditation. Meditation 33, Living Power, Part 2. Again, as I had said, we left off at gasification, and gasification is basically a style of pyrolysis. Oh, I hate saying that word. That is achieved at 1400 to 1700 degrees Fahrenheit, or 800 to 900 degrees centigrade or Celsius. The other thing about this is that it is at high pressure. The reason why these things are important to say is because the difficulty of generating enough energy to getting to that temperature, and the difficulty of doing that in a pressurized containment system that is not going to explode on you, this is a dangerous process. And it is a process you may not want to be doing in direct contact with things that are important to you, like your family, friends, your stuff, your home. Because if it goes bad, it goes bad in such a spectacular way that people for miles around will see and hear it potentially. And that's something to be said. I am all for seeking out renewable processes, but generally speaking, for the most part, thermochemical conversion is not really meant for the homeowner to do. It is dangerous, it requires space, it requires a lot of money, and these processes aren't refined well enough or mature enough for small, compact, mobile, human, individual processes. The whole idea with gasification is you are going to be producing a lot of hydrogen gas, synthetic biogas, syn-fuel, syn-gas, all the same thing. You're looking to make H2 and run things off of little mini Hindenburg type of style things. I say that as a joke, but that's basically the gist of it. There are vehicles that were created that run on hydrogen gas, and I believe there is a brittleness issue, like burning hydrogen gas causes metal to become brittle. But aside that, the technology exists and it works. Maybe it needs to be refined a little bit better, but it's there and it works. When you do get your setup at high pressure to the desired temperature, you then need to inject controlled amounts of oxygen and or steam. This is also, you know, requires an apparatus. This is cost prohibitive. And the main output is syngas, CO2, carbon monoxide, CO, hydrogen, and methane. This can be burned, and it is burned. This is a process that actually does occur here in the United States. Part of our energy, quote-unquote, solution is creating syngas and injecting it into the system. The methane from syngas is injected into natural gas lines because it is technically a natural gas. It's bio-created, so it's a natural gas. You don't have to get natural gas from the ground. You can create it yourself. It does, I think, comprise of like 0.2% of the gas used, natural gas used in the country. And that's only because we're doing it as a country, we, the royal we, are doing it as an experiment to see if this is a viable way forward out of pulling natural gas out of the ground, out of burning coal, you know, carbon zero, blah, 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 blah. When we come back, we are going to be talking about transesterification and all of the goodness that that is. And welcome back. Thank you for coming back after that short break. So transesterification. Transesterification is not cost prohibitive. Some barely employed dude managed to do it and use it to fuel his car. So I can't say it's cost prohibitive, you know, since some random hippie did this. So we have that. All right. We have that going for us as opposed to the other two processes. Well, the other process, you know. Burning wood is not cost prohibitive either, I suppose. But it's not in and of itself a fuel. Most recommendations go up to what is known as B20, which is 20% biodiesel, which is what you get from transesterification, and then 80% diesel. Now, as far as producing power this way, you would need a generator. A diesel generator usually costs somewhere in the neighborhood of somewhere in the middle of $1,000 to $2,000 to $20,000, depending on the size generator you're going to be dealing with. But again, the amount of feedstock, aka spent fryer oil, for example, is going to determine how much biodiesel you're going to be getting out of this. So maybe buying the $20,000 generator might not be a great idea unless you have a contract with a local fast food place that's going to just hand over their waste oil to you, as opposed to having a service pump it away, pump and drive it away, and then they use it for transesterification of great biodiesel for other profit that they can be getting, as well as the pumping and carting is concerned. So you do have some competition. There is corporate competition for that spent fryer oil. There's that, right? Now, the chemical process in and of itself is not a very difficult one. This is pretty much high school level chemistry. Most people can grasp this. You're going to take triglycerides and esters. And what esters are alcohols. Usually methanol, ethanol is used in this process. You're going to add an alkaline additive to this, a base, right? Normally what's used is sodium hydroxide or potassium hydroxide to this mixture, which is a catalyst for the reaction that spits out a fatty acid ester, also known as a monoalkyl ester, biodiesel, and glycerol. Now, this process can take minutes, it can take hours, depending on what's in the oil in and of itself, how well it's been filtered. There's a lot of factors involved here. But if it takes hours, it takes hours, right? You're getting fuel out of this for next to nothing. Then the process of separation of the glycerol, other particulate matter or other materials within the mixture, and then your biodiesel, that can take hours to days, depending on the system which you're using to filter all of the stuff out and separate it. All of that being said, this is probably the one biological fuel methodology, aside direct burning, that which I 100% support if you can get your hands on enough fuel oil or enough cooking oil to do that. Now, to be fair, the United States government is subsidizing sunflower and canola specifically for biodiesel production. I don't think that that's a great idea. I think that there's enough waste in this world that we could do that without specifically growing crops to turn into fuel. I don't think that that's a necessary step, but that's my opinion. And you know what opinions are, they're like assholes and everybody stinks, right? So with that being said, we are going to now go to the thank you for all of my acolytes, that's you guys, and we will finish up with biological conversion, digestion, and fermentation. I want to give a special thank you to all of my acolytes, that is you, the listeners, as well as the listeners who have been with me since the beginning. These people, since before monetization, since episode one, and since before episode one, have been friends and supporters of everything that I do, so I want to make sure I give them a special shout out. There is a space at the end of this list for listener supporters. Listener supporters are people who financially support this podcast, this production, and for as little as 99 cents a month, you can become a listener supporter. I would greatly appreciate that. To begin, we have Anarchic Radio, run by Donna Van Meter, Amy Lynn Russell, and Moose Girl. The link for that is down in the description, as well as the link for all of these projects. Extremist Being Awesome, run by Star O'Hara. This is a motivation and accountability group. The Master of the Dark Arts of Marketing, Mr. Nathan Frazier. You can learn about the esoteric and not-so-esoteric arts of marketing through his content. The Salted Sicilian. This is a close personal friend of mine, Christy Caruana's food blog. She is a Culinary Institute of America graduate. A Wild Little Podcast. This is a fellow podcaster here on Spotify for Podcasters. We did a lot of promoting each other early on, and I'm continuing that tradition. I have no idea what she's doing. Other supporters that have been here since the beginning. Over on Twitter, we have We Trade Free, Miss Kennedy Edwards, London Gardens, and over on Instagram, we have Mr. Michael Brandon Witt. Again, if you wish to become a listener supporter, it's as low as 99 cents a month, and you will be added to this. If you have a project, I absolutely will bark that project for you. I go over that stuff in an email between us, and then we can continue our relationship. Now back to the podcast. And again, I want to say a special thank you to all of my listeners, all of you acolytes out there. You are the reason why this happens, and I greatly appreciate each and every one of you. If you've made it this far, and you are a listener who also follows me on social media, I am trying to do a bit of a drive of participation and members of the Facebook page, so and the Instagram as well, but mainly the Facebook page. So if you know people who might be interested in any of this type of content, please feel free to share. If you know people who are interested in this type of content and are going to tell you that I'm wrong, please share this with them and get them here involved with me to help me correct my thinking if I'm wrong. I'm 100% okay with being wrong. I'm 100% okay with being open to criticism, but I need that criticism in order to grow, right? Feel free. I would love to have more members on the page. I would love to have more interaction. And the only way I can do that is by you guys reaching out to your contacts. So if you'd be so kind, I would greatly appreciate it. Now, back to the meditation. Biological conversion is two type of process. You have anaerobic digestion and fermentation, which technically is also anaerobic digestion. I want to make sure that we understand that, but we're going to be talking about two different processes that have two different outcomes. The anaerobic digestion is for the production of methane, and 9 times out of 10, when we're talking about anaerobic digestion, we're talking about a certain type of waste that may not smell great, that produces a gas that does not smell great. Right? So this is a process that you do not want to do next to your house. And it is a process that does, if treated properly, can be used to cook with, can be used to fuel, you know, fires with, can be used to create energy with. But again, it does not smell great, right? Now, the other option here is fermentation for ethanol, which is, of course, also anaerobic digestion, but the outcome of this is an alcohol known as ethanol, which is already used as a fuel here in the United States. Most gas pumps have a percentage of ethanol added to them, and it's working out. I mean, it works. So there's that. Now, when we talk about anaerobic digestion for power production, whether it be for heat, energy, or fuel, the reality is livestock farming produces fuel. Make it completely on the table. A utility scale power plant produces at least 1 megawatt or 1,000 kilowatt hours of electricity generation. That's what it's capable of doing at a minimum per day. So it's a lot of energy that can be collected from animal waste, just animal waste, just the hay waste from their bedding, collecting methane gas from their droppings, what have you. And this is also waste reduction. Now, the other way in order to gain methane from waste is to landfill it. And landfilling has a negative side effect known as leachate. And leachate is a horrible thing to deal with. So I generally don't condone this, because America's methodology for dealing with leachate is send it somewhere else. And I don't like that idea. I would prefer, personally, for my own operation, to not use as much food waste in gas production and rather use it in revitalizing soil and composting, right? Other than burning and transesterification, every single process here, I feel that the feedstock material would be better used for enriching soil than it would be for creating fuel. I think in the long run, that is a better use, a more inclusive use of all of the chemicals inside of those food. And when I say chemicals, I do mean like nitrogen. I'm not talking about red dye number 5 or fucking whatever shit. I'm talking about like free nitrogen that's in waste food, the nitrogen that makes up the food. It can be put back into the soil, can be given to the plants, the potassium that's in the food. If it's waste, it can be put into the soil and can be given back to the plants. I think that is a more effective use of that type of stuff than to try to create a gas to run engines or try to create a gas to burn for fuel when you could just burn wood. Now comes the point in time where I start talking about, again, carbon neutrality and the paradox out of this. There is no carbon neutral solutions. The fact of the matter is carbon exists in a cycle. Carbon neutrality is a myth. Now, I do understand their emphasis on, well, if you're pulling it up out of the ground, it's not in the atmosphere, and therefore you're adding carbon that goes into the atmosphere by burning hydrocarbons that you pull out of the ground. Okay, I do see that logic. I do understand that. But that logic can be easily trumped by planting more trees, so why not just plant more fucking trees, right? I don't understand this whole idea that you need to have zero carbon emissions, or the carbon emissions that you have cannot exceed what is already out there in the atmosphere. I don't understand that. That's not how cycles work. Plant more trees. If you want more carbon taken out of the air, if you want carbon dioxide pulled from the air, plant more fucking trees. Just plant more fucking trees. Plant more things that grow that intake carbon dioxide and output oxygen, and everyone will be happier. With that being said, I want to say thank you to everybody for coming. I greatly appreciate each and every one of you. I couldn't do this without you. And join me next week and we'll be talking about something else, because I'm done with biofuel now. Yay!